This month, a play called Heroin will take to stages around the towns and cities of Ireland. The show charts the social history of heroin in Ireland from the 1960s up to the present day. It also includes a specially designed audience. With me now in studio, the playwright Grace Dias. Grace, thanks for coming in.
Good morning,
I know you
John.
Wrote this play in 2010, and it was very much informed by your own experience growing up in Dublin's inner city.
It was, yeah. I suppose addiction would have always been around me. I lived in Rialto, right between Fatima Mansions and Dolphin House, and addiction would have always been kind of around me in the streets. I would have found needles in my garden when I was playing as a child. The lane behind my house was a kind of hot spot for dealing and also using. So it always would have been something that I would have had questions about growing up, and I would have been always kind of asking my parents those questions about why do some people look like zombies walking around the place and what's going on here? Because it kind of did feel like an epidemic around the time that I was very young, I suppose, my kind of formative years growing up.
And did many of your friends then succumb to heroin addiction?
No, luckily not my friends in that particular drug of choice, but I suppose a lot of kind of maybe 10 years older than me, my sister's generation would have. For our generation, it was kind of moved on then, I suppose, to cocaine and ecstasy. Drink has always been obviously a massive thing, and I would have had, I have a lot of friends who would have suffered from addiction in different ways, yeah.
Now, I think one of the main points of the play is to challenge how we see addicts, Grace. And what did you find out when you went to study it more closely about addicts and their motivations?
I suppose I would have been looking at, you know, kind of growing up, I would have been told to have empathy for people in addiction. When I would have asked those questions as a child, I would have been told that addiction is an illness, it's a sickness, and that it's something that we need to have empathy for people, and people can't control what they're doing because they're in a sickness. But I suppose then when I became an adult and I kind of went into the wider world, got a job, that kind of thing, I started to realise that my impression of addiction was completely different to most of, you know, regular Irish societies, that mostly addicts are viewed as, you know, a scourge, as a, you know, an inconvenience to people's daily lives. And so that kind of really shook me, and I wanted to make something that would bridge that gap between that. Because I wondered, how did I have such a different perspective to most of the people that I was interacting with in day to day? And so then I went to Rialto Community Drug Team, and I told them this very naive intention that I had, which was that I wanted to make a piece of theatre that was going to change how people viewed addiction. And they said, well, look, you know, you don't have what it takes right now, so go away and come back and we'll help you. So they said, if you spend enough time here and try and become as much of an expert as you can in this, and the only way you can is by talking to people. And I suppose, Sean, when I talked to people, I started to see the bigger picture. So I started to see that actually, you know, you start off saying to someone, oh, why did you take drugs? And they say, oh, I just did because I'm an idiot, because I'm a tick, because I did the wrong thing, I should have known better. And then you talk to them further and they say, yeah, well, you know, I suppose I did have, you know, a bad upbringing, or I didn't get the right education, or I wasn't looked upon in school. A lot of people told me that they were sexually abused. That rocked my perception of everything, I suppose. When you think about, if I'd lived with that pain, then what else can you do? You know, heroin is the strongest painkiller you can get. And then I suppose from a more academic point of view, the staff of the drug team, particularly Graham Ryle, would have given me a really kind of bird's eye picture of the social policies that led by successive governments to this situation. So you're kind of looking at the bigger picture, that actually it's not just someone's choice, that there's a myth around we just decide to take drugs, actually that there's the wider picture of social housing,
yes, and
inequality, you know yourself.
On that point, I think the play shows three actors building a council flat on stage. Now, again, are you making a point there about social housing and the role it played in the development of the heroin epidemics?
Well, one of the things that I always say to explain that, Sean, is like there was a report commissioned in the mid-70s around social housing and what was the best way to do it, and looking at New York and London and other examples. And that report basically explicitly said, if you build high density social housing and you don't put in the resources, you're going to have a heroin epidemic similar to what we've seen in these other countries. Yet our government shelved those reports. Now, you can't say, oh, you know, the government were terrible or whatever. Obviously, we had a lot going on in the country in regards to the north and all that kind of stuff, and people were basically incapacitated to deal with it. But if you look at that actually we had planned to build resources. There was supposed to be a swimming pool put into Ballymun. There was meant to be buses routes and all that kind of stuff in schools, and they weren't built because we decided to not invest. And that's a fundamental issue around value.
Yes, but how do you explain the fact that many people in those conditions that you describe, be it in Ballymun or elsewhere, they live exemplary lives. They don't have anything to do with drugs, and they just get themselves educated against the odds, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they get good jobs and they're very good families.
I suppose there shouldn't be so much difference between living in one place to the next. I suppose all the people who live in these places, who, and I'm one of them, I suppose, who kind of pull themselves through and don't succumb, but then people next to me could have, and I very easily could have. And I suppose, I believe there shouldn't be a fight. It shouldn't be that you have to kind of survive and pull yourself through against all the odds. It should be that there shouldn't be odds stacked against you.
Right, and is there a point that you make as well about how you stop history repeating itself?
Absolutely. I suppose, as you mentioned, the Design and the Audience project, just before, kind of starting in December, I've been travelling to all the places that we're visiting on the tour, and meeting addiction services and meeting people in the communities around it. And it's very kind of shocking what I'm seeing is that this kind of historical piece that I've made, kind of a journalistic historical piece around Dublin's relationship with heroin in the 60s, 70s, 80s, so on, and the three different epidemics that happened, is kind of being repeated around the country now. You're starting to see the same kind of things that were happening in Dublin in the mid 80s, happening in Cork, happening in Galway. You're starting to see that that needles are starting to be found in estates. And it's kind of like, how are we continuously in this kind of inaction as a state? And then coupled with, you're talking to people about a lack of investment, so cutbacks. So we built up an infrastructure to deal with drugs after Veronica Gear and after CAB, all that kind of stuff. There was massive money put into drugs in the country. And then we started to just dismantle it bit by bit with these austerity budgets. And it's kind of like, how can you cut the most vulnerable people?
So when you talked about going around to those places where the play is being staged, is that was with the view to bringing some representatives of those communities into the audience when you're
absolutely,
when you're on
yeah.
tour?
I suppose Theatre Club believe that theatre is a place where you know, social change can begin, so we can start conversations there around social change. And so we would put a lot of effort into creating a diverse audience, and I think because theatre generally is viewed as something that's more of a pastime in the middle classes, it is something that you have to do, is to go in and talk to people and make them feel welcome.
Okay, and I gather that the national tour with Heroin begins this Friday. You're going to Belfast, Downpatrick, to Galway, to Cork, Waterford and Portlaoise. And for more information, theatreclub.ie.
Yes.
Grace, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio. That's playwright Grace Dyes there. We'll be joined by our book club. We'll be in session after this break. We'll be talking about Mary Costello's Academy Street.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.